Good. Okay. So we had a general introduction from myself about OGC programs and the MOU between OGC and OSGEO. Stefan was just talking about OGC's innovation program and how this helped, you know, how this works with the open source community. And now we have Angelos and Tom to look from the standard side on OGC standards, the open standards, and what is in for the OSGEO community and how they collaborated.
Do you want the microphone or it's a few?
Okay. Yeah, we can. All right.
Good. Floor is yours. Thanks.
All right. So, hello, everyone. I'm Angelos, and Tom is with me. We are both representing OSGEO as board members, and at the same time, we are both OGC members, and we are participating in several OSGEO projects. So, we are going to talk today about how we collaborate as OSGEO projects, how we do collaboration with OGC, but we are also going to talk about how the foundation is collaborating with OGC in general. So we are, this is a short overview of our presentation. We are going to talk about how the OGC evolved in terms of APIs. And we are going to describe how is the current activity on the OGC API front. Then we are going to talk about the collaboration between OGC and OSGEO. And if we have time at the end, we will give you a short demo of what our projects can do. So please, Tom, take over.
Thank you, Angelos. So if anybody needs to recover from last night and wake up again, just come here and have this light shining on you, and you'll wake up. At any rate, thank you very much. I'm going to walk through a little bit of the OGC API evolution, which is showing my age, but basically looking back at the history of OGC APIs, for better or for worse, we saw that, so I'm going to walk through the 90s and the 2000s and sort of current state. So in the 90s, there was a lot of focus around building these APIs around the sort of CORBA or XML RPC design pattern. SOAP and web services description language was prominent at that point. And the whole concept of service-oriented architecture was huge. We wanted to have services and APIs for absolutely everything. There was a strong concept of having a database in the back. And of course, most of you should know that the Web Map Service Standard was version 1 from 1999 was the at the forefront of the initial efforts in OGC, along with geography markup language. Then in the 2000s, the concept of Web 2 sort of proliferated, where we started to see a lot of JavaScript, Ajax, Google Maps came out, and that sort of changed the whole game, where we had slippy maps and tiles, and you know this conference has seen its share of the presentations and work and projects around these concepts. At the same time, in OGC, we kept pushing along with evolving with web feature service, web coverage service, processing, and catalog. So those specifications have served us very well over the last 10 or 20 years. At the same time, it's important to sort of look where things are at and have an honest conversation. And I think a lot of that has happened in the recent activity. So some technical considerations around the way OGC APIs were developed is XML was very prominent. Key value pairs when doing requests. GML, so geography markup language, which is this huge specification, very difficult to implement in full. various things around overloading the actual HTTP specification with very specific things, exhaustive specifications and requirements. So it was a lot. It was a lot of you either implement this entire standard or you don't. And I've wasted many a Friday night implementing a standard to the end. So the other challenges were search engines. How many times have we had discussions around how do we find data via Google or via some other, or Yahoo or some other search engine, and making it easy for web developers. So I'll give you an example. As part of the weather service, we developed a mobile app. Well, I didn't, but the web developers did, and my group runs the WMS that does all the real-time radar data. So one of the developers came up to me and asked for the WMS spec and how do they interact with this web map service. So they're still scratching their heads. But it was released, but it was very difficult to implement and comprehend that specification for a web developer. So fast forward, help is on the way. So these days, we have a concept of REST, a representational state transfer, more sort of focus on HTTP verbs, really using the status codes as opposed to sending error messages with everything as HTTP 200, using URIs. The concept of identifiers is getting stronger and stronger. Obviously, JSON is the lingua franca of sort of exchange, especially for web applications, much more compact and performant. Open API and Swagger is all the rage these days. So Open API is basically a YAML or JSON representation of how you define a web service endpoint and its operations and so on, its parameters. And Swagger is really neat tooling that implements OpenAPI so web developers can quickly open an API, figure out what are all the operations that the, what are all the requests that the API supports, what parameters can I give, and so on, right in a web application without reading the spec. So a little bit, I know Athena mentioned a little bit about activities in OGC with regards to recent events around OpenAPI and collaboration with W3C, but I'm also gonna walk through a little bit of it here. So if you haven't read the W3C Spatial Data on the Web Best Practices, it's probably a good idea on your flight or train home to take a look at it. It's a recommendation, and it has a lot of information on recommendations on describing geospatial data formats, concept of identifiers, accessing geospatial data, licensing and provenance. I'm from Canada, so I'm prone to saying province, but provenance. And the idea of being webby. So a spec is really valuable if it's of the web. So it's web friendly and it's web developer friendly. So some of the things that we're seeing coming out of OGC with regards to standards development is, again, things being webby, developer-friendly, lightweight specifications, and this one right here, removing the use of HTTP as a tunnel. This one took me a while to figure out, but I'm here now, and I'm telling you that this is an easier way to go, especially when you're showing it to a web developer who may not have geospatial knowledge per se. So really getting closer to the HTTP specification and that we're not inventing a layer on top of it. And the specifications are also different, evolving, where now we have the concept of a core specification with a bunch of extensions. So the really easy use cases of, lat long points and getting it in GeoJSON, that is essentially a core specification of, for example, the new WFS spec, as opposed to, anything more elaborate. Little bit of a timeline. So again, the W3C recommendation. There was an OGC API white paper, and then in 2018 and 2019, the rubber started to hit the road. There was a WFS3 hackathon. There was also a Weather on the Web API hackathon, and there was the OGC API hackathon in London. So we're starting to see a little bit more hands-on in an open fashion from OGC, which has resulted in a lot of good work with regards to supporting the new wave of implementations. Here's a sneak peek at what I guess the initial new profile of the standards are going to be called. So the standards are actually, the names of the standards are actually on the left-hand side, and everything in brackets is what it used to be called, or what some of us have always been used to. So OGC API common, so all the specs will implement a common layer. Whoops. Then we have OGC API features, coverages, maps and tiles, as well as processing. And then we have a catalog service, a new catalog service, which is records. That's still up for debate as to what we're going to call it. It might be called catalog, as you've seen in previous slides, or it might be called records. We'll see, or cast your vote and let us know what you think. A little bit about GitHub activity. So OGC, as Athena mentioned, is starting to use GitHub more and more, especially in an open fashion. So the standards are actually written in ASCII doc now, and they're exported and released as HTML. So in addition to the PDFs or other versions of the documents, now you can get them on the web. You can actually hyperlink to them, different parts, and send them to all your friends. There's also a Gitter chat, so there's a lot of collaboration around the spec. So this is really positive to see, especially from an open source implementation perspective. And I'll pass it over to Angelos to talk a little bit about the OSGeo collaboration.
Thank you, Tom. So, as Tom described, things are changing in OGC, but also in OSGeo. And we are trying to figure out how to work together more and more every day. So Athena also talked about the MOU that we have, and that is also going to go through some revision at some point from the board and OGC. So I'm going to talk a bit more technical and what happened to some use cases, some of our projects that are actually heavily involved in the also in OSGeo and in OGC specification standards implementation. So Tom in 2011 started the PyCSW project, which the project was all about being able to make a catalog with very few requirements and very few resources. So the need was to have a very lightweight catalog. And PyCSW from day one wanted to be passing the site tests. So the effort was to be able to provide a compliance server from day one. And so this happened very fast, and I joined Tom in the process. And while we managed to reach compliance in 2013, so if you know the CSW spec is a huge document, and it has many aspects. So then around 2014. We managed to not only pass all the tests, but we managed to also become a reference implementation, because at that point, OGC started requesting reference implementations, and as you know, open source software is the best way to do this, because you have the source code, people can learn how to implement a standard if they can get the source code. And that led to 2016, where OGC actually was developing the CSW3 standard. And while being in a draft stage, we also started implementing CSW3 in parallel. And by the time that the standard reached to the voting stage, we had already implemented it completely. So we were the first reference implementations reference implementation for CSW3. And at the same time, OGC wanted to have reference implementations in order to finalize the standard. So it's a win-win situation in this case, and a very good use for open source software. And this now evolved even more, because today we have a new project which also follows the same pattern that OGC now uses to develop the new standard. So today, we have already been working on the PyGeo API project, which is now an OSGeo community project. It's in the early days. And it is following the implementation of OGC API, and specifically the features and the processing. So as the standard gets finalized, we are also implementing at the same time, and we are also at the stage that we pass the side tests. So when it is finalized, the reference implementation will be there. And we are developing alongside OGC. We are going to hackathons, and we are hoping that also we can do this on the code sprints, in the OSGeo code sprints. So it's a very, very nice time for OSGeo and OGC that we can collaborate closer on the development of standards. We will have a short demo of PyGeo API in a while. And also, we have another aspect. We have Team Engine, which is a software for testing the standards. So this is developed by OGC. And 2 years ago, as part of the MOU between OSGeo and OGC, Team Engine applied to our incubation program. So Team Engine is going through the incubation procedure, which means that it's been tested for, you know, being open source, having living up to the standards of a high quality open source project, and that is still in the process. Team Engine hasn't graduated yet, but it's in the process. And also, by including Team Engine in our family of projects, we are also helping our other projects to implement compliant software, because working along with Team Engine was a very successful story for PyCSW. We were able to provide feedback on the site test on the Team Engine team while implementing a reference implementation. So we help validate site, and when the standard is finalized, site is validating every other project. So a little bit more about the OSGeo and OGC collaboration. We had the memorandum of understanding signed in 2008. We are coordinated, and we do that on the board level. We have Bruce, who is the point of contact on the OSGeo part for OGC, and we have meetings with OGC members. And in the board meeting the previous weekend, we had a long session with Scott. So we are now trying to work closer together. And part of the MOU was to have reference implementations from OSGeo, and I think we are doing very good job in this aspect. Also, OGC provided six member slots, individual member slots, for our OSGeo developers, and that means that if a member of OSGeo or a project wants to join OGC, can actually take one of these slots and participate and have access to the documentation. Well, today the standards move to GitHub, so they're easier to get. In the previous times, it was somebody had to be an OGC member to see a draft standard before it was finalized. So that helped also a lot to have this kind of access to documentation. So I'm now going to talk about OGC compliance and how this relates to the OSGeo project. So as Athena explained earlier, a project can implement an OGC standard, and that means it can pass the standard tests even without paying for being certified. So currently, what we did last night, we went to the OSGeo site and we took all the projects and we looked if they are implementing an OGC standard. And actually, we found that 21 out of our graduated OSGeo projects implement at least one OGC standard. And that includes servers, clients, format parsers, anything. All right, so we have 21 projects implementing. Out of these projects, 5 VoiceGeo projects are certified. So they are OGC compliant, and 1 VoiceGeo community project. So we have Degree, which is compliant with 16 standards, all of them reference implementations. We have QGIS, which is compliant with 1 standard, and this 1 standard is a reference implementation. We have GDAL, which is compliant with 3 standards. Then we have Map Server, which is compliant with 1, and PyCSW compliant with 4, and also a reference implementation. And we have the community project, which is ISTSOS, which is compliant with 1 standard. Now, in this list, we did not add PyGeo API, and the reason is that the standard is not final yet, all right? So it's not there. And Geo Server, which is it is implementing, but I think it doesn't pass the site tests currently. So we need to get them to work. All right. So that is about it about the presentation. And now we would like to run a short demonstration of PyGeo API, so that you get a feeling of how this all works and how we are moving along the OGC API features. Maybe you want to ask a question before that, or you want to run the demo right away? I don't know.
Any questions? Immediate ones? No? Maybe after the demo?
Right. Okay. So, Tom, you want to join me?
Thank you, Angelos. So I'm just going to switch over to the browser, which has been closed. Let's try this. So I'm just going to do a demo of the PyGeo API project, which will demonstrate the evolving OGC API features specification from OGC. And I know you're all excited, so yeah. So this is a WFS, believe it or not, and the idea is. In line with the W3C recommendation and the evolving OGC API standards, things like JSON and HTML are now first class to make them, again, more webby. So you remember the concept that we talked about, more webby and lower barrier and all of that. This is sort of, here we are.
I think this term actually means that both humans and machines can read the same thing, and it's okay for both of them.
So here we have the landing page of our OGC API features instance, and you can see various metadata that you would get from a present-day GET capabilities response. And what I'll do is I'll show you some examples here. So we're going to drill down and see all the different feature collections that are available in this OGC API features instance. So we can see here are all the feature collections that are available, plus some title and abstract kind of metadata. And let's click on one. At any point in time, let me just back up. At any point in time, obviously, Angelos mentioned being able to be read by machine readable or humans. This is here's the machine representation of what we see on the web page. So this is JSON, as you all are probably aware. Now let's list out all the collections. And we can see a number of collections. And let's look at large lakes. So here's some sort of high-level information about that specific feature collection. And now we can start to browse the feature collection. So again, this is a new WFS, or OGC API feature. So here we can see an HTML representation with a table, with all the attributes, and we can see the geometry all mapped out. And hey, we can even interact with the map at the same time. So I'll zoom into Lake Ontario because I'm from close to there and I'm going home soon. So here we are. So here we can see, if we wanted to click and open that feature, there's the actual feature. And as you can see here, this is all linked, or this provides the sort of identifier or the URI. So the other thing around the specs is that they're designed to be search engine friendly. So you can do a Google dataset search with an OGC API instance now because of the way they're designed and using things like schema.org and so on. So there's an example of what a specific feature looks like. And again, you can get that back in JSON. So really low barrier, really easy to implement either clients or servers. I'll give you some examples. At the initial WFS3 hackathon, we put PyGeo API together in, 3 days. And I'll give you another example in OWSLib, which is a Python OGC client. Implementing WFS3 took 60% less code than implementing WFS1 or 2. So take heart. This is really low barrier and really easy to implement for web developers, for GIS people, and we're really extending the reach here, as you can see. So I guess to close that off, I think I would say, as Cliff Kotman of OGC once said, interoperability doesn't happen by accident. So there's a lot of good work being done at OGC, and the relationship between OGC and OSGeo is natural, healthy, and evolving, and I think this is an exciting time to be involved. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Are there any questions? Yeah. And just to remind you, if you go down now, you have to queue up a very long time, so better stay here and have some good discussions.
Thank you. I have a comment and a question again. First of all, the comment, congratulations for all the work being done both at OGC and with the community. PyGeo API, can share a personal experience here. I deployed it, I'm following it on GitHub, and it took me roughly 10 minutes to deploy and to connect to my data structure and to have all my data available in this easy-to-use manner. So well done, guys. Keep on doing that. And then the question relates a little bit to the slide that you, Tom, showed where we had the new way, the new naming convention of the different standards and the old one. I didn't see there the sensor things API. And I was just wondering, because I think we have been using it at JRC a lot and we're really happy with it. It was, I think, the first one that is following closer the W3C way of doing things. I was wondering, is there need to rework somehow the OGC sensor things API, and is it going to share this common way of handling things with the rest?
So exactly, this is how it will work. Initially, WFS3 started as a draft by the community, and then we realized that we need to have a commons. A specification for common things. So actually the first WFS hackathon worked on WFS, and the second one worked mainly on defining what are the common things that need to be in the standards. So right now the common specification is also now being drafted, and we already know that there have been working groups that are being formed. For example, me and Tom are in the catalog group, and catalog is not a thing right now because it hasn't been officially started. But we have been working on that. So I'm sure that the SOS people are already thinking how to get the common specification and add their stuff on top of the common specification, the same way we are now going to work on PyCSW4, which is going to be the next version, which is going to be based on the commons and WFS work. So we are at the state where everything can change. We don't have final standards yet, And we do have stable software to show even at this stage, but of course it will get better. And one more thing, it is easier now for the developers, but somebody can say it's not yet complete because, for example, we don't have transactions yet in WFS. And that will be an extension of the standard. So typically in the past, OGC standards had the whole package in the core. Today, the core is going to be lightweight. So, for example, only HTML and JSON for WFS3. But then if you want GML, you can implement it. Nobody will stop you from doing that. And for transactions, you will be able to do an extension. So all the little nice things and features will come as extensions, and they will be handled also as a part of the standard. So we are trying to get more, to get things in smaller pieces, and it's a better way to organize in order also to help developers. You know, it's difficult to implement a 300-page specification at once. At least our experience showed that.
Good. Other questions? Yeah.
Do we really think that having a simple core spec and then lots and lots of extensions that may or may not get implemented by anybody is the way to improve interoperability? I can just see a lot of people coming up and saying, why don't you support this? Why didn't you support that extension? What about the version 2 of that extension?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess there's a balance somewhere between core and extensions. And implementing a spec, you know, 100% the way it is now. I guess that part of that remains to be seen. And this is where the idea of information communities start to evolve. So, for example, where I come from the Mech community, we will rally and build and sort of adhere to a specific set of extensions atop WFS3 or. Sorry, OGC API features or processes or coverages or whatever. So that's one approach.
Apologies if it was already said, but based on your experience from current process and let's say from the movement, because I'm just feeling something big is coming, could you guess when this core of the core part of this OGC API will be somehow formalized and stable? Just also asking from the perspective of a data provider who is at this moment about to initiate a big project to support Inspire legal requirements, whilst hearing that there is coming a new strong standard which may significantly impact the way how the data will be made available for the mainstream developer community, from which we are hearing the requests, guys, make this SDI stuff easier and more usable. So just I'm asking, when do you think this OGC core will be stable, then to be able to better communicate with, let's say, Inspire legal people and to see how we will have to communicate to the stakeholders. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that question fully. I'm certainly not going to say anything here. But there is some coordination that is to be done, as I understand it, between OGC and ISO with regards to making things an associated ISO standard. So that ISO has, as I understand it, its own processes and its own timelines. So I'm not really aware of any formal dates. I've heard of WFS coming out very soon in terms of the initial cut of the specification. The other ones are being rapidly evolved and developed, and you can see them all on GitHub out in the open as well. So yes, but it is coming. I mean, one day you will open QGIS and you will be able to connect to a feature server or a covered server. So this is This is the trajectory that we're going on in terms of when. Obviously, WFS3 is the first out of the gate. The other ones are being worked on. I don't know if anybody else from the team here has any further comments on timing.
I don't know about the timeline, but that is a good point. So we are, you know, because that's all you and the community is looking into that, I took a note, and that is probably a good topic also for a blog, for Scott Simmons. But as Tom already mentioned, so we have also very close coordination with ISO TC211, and so, you know, we are coordinating that with them, but I do not know the timelines. Good. So, last chance for the last question of the session. 1, 2, 3, nuns. I want to thank my co-presenters, the audience.